Blog Talk Radio.
Issues according to the Bible and according to Bible prophecy. I am hoping I can get somebody to tell me if they can hear me or not, because I might have to call in. I got the premium package, but this Skype thing is killing me. And hopefully everything will be fine. I think I'm going to have to call in, because I have nobody in the chat room to tell me if this thing is working or not. Yet, at least I have nobody in the chat room. Okay. But let me try to resolve this issue. And if I can resolve this issue, that would be just great. But if I can't, I'm going to have to try to hang up with Skype and then call back. But it says I'm in, but I just don't know if there is any audio. I just don't know if there's any audio or not. And what they should let you do is listen to your show over the phone, regardless of if there is Skype or not. They should just let you listen to your show over the phone, because right now it's taking off from me, because I'm sort of just wondering if you can hear me or not, and it's kind of taking away from what I want to actually truly say, because I don't want to just start talking and your show is like 45 minutes into the show, and no one still can hear me. So that is a big issue for me. But I went and saw the movie last night, me and my wife saw 2012, and that's what I want to talk to y'all about. I'll give y'all a little synopsis of what I thought about that show, that movie. And to tell you the truth, the graphics and effects were pretty darn good. I think it's sort of just like every other show, Deep Impact and all the other Armageddon, 10.5, Apocalypse. They're the same type of movies to me. That's just me. With that being said, I think people should go see it to be going to see it, But if you're gonna find out what's gonna happen in the last days, you read the Bible. That's the way I look at it. You read the Word of God, and you take your cues from the Word of God. You don't use movies to interpret God's Word. You use God's Word to interpret. You can hear me? Oh, praise God. Praise God. That's great. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Because I got this premium package and I got the microphone to go with it. And it's kind of weird just talking. So the last show I had to cancel because I had talked for like 45 minutes. And it kind of hurt my feelings that it wasn't picked up. But let me finish talking about this movie right quick. The movie had great effects, but it was kind of like a year right. You know, yeah, right. This family was driving in a vehicle and a big old massive big volcano-like cloud is so huge it could swallow a city. It's chasing after them, and they're just flying through buildings, and the roads is cracking, and they're barely making this hole, and they escape that hole, and they, you know, they escape this big flying rock with fire, and they just moving and trying. I mean, I'm like, yeah, right. Those people had the hand of God. That was like Moses and the Israelites trying to, or Joshua, the Israelites trying to go over the sea. I mean, I'm like, yeah, I mean, of course I don't say yeah, right to God, the creator, because he can do those things. But for that family to move through all that stuff, they had to have the hand of God on them. Of course, I'm just being funny because the movie is just a movie. But we must use the Bible to interpret everything. The Bible is like, have you ever seen a counterfeit dollar bill? They don't go and study all the counterfeits. They study the dollar. They study the real thing so they can know the counterfeits. Why waste your time going to universities and colleges for different, oh, this was Frederick Jones. He made a counterfeit bill in 1965. Look at the color. I mean, why would you do that for? Well, you can just study the true dollar bill, which is actually what I mean is the true Bible. You use the Bible to interpret the Bible, and you also use the Bible to interpret everything else. So they should make a real movie before Jesus comes. They should make a real movie about the whole thing. You know, let a Christian, let a true Christian preacher or a true Christian organization come in and say, this is how it should be, this is how it should look. It'd be a nice movie. You know? Don't just let Hollywood do it, because Hollywood's going to sooner or later mess it up. And by the way, a lot of people, billions of people on Earth will get to play in the role in the real true movie that's coming out in a few months, possibly a few years. Laugh out loud. I mean, I'm for real. A lot of people that are alive today will be alive in the tribulation period, and they will get to see. They will be in their own movie. Everybody will play their own role. Everybody will play their own part. Okay? Let me, I have bad luck at answering these calls. I really do, and I trust that this is a legit call, but I'm going to really pray about answering calls. Because I was doing a call, I'll answer the call on my one of my radio programs called Omega 2, the Omega Radio, and I don't even want to go into what this person's talking about. But lucky I had enough sense to already have my finger on the trigger, and I got rid of him, and I had to get rid of the whole show just for that one caller. But God is good, and God is gracious. And I don't know why people get up late at night or stay up late at night to mess with people on the radio. I think this is my thought. They do me more justice than injustice when they call into my radio program and talk, you know, disgusting stuff. Because it's showing me that I am effective. Because the devil is not going to mess with somebody that is effective. Okay? So I've had a few good calls. And I'm praying that once my show really take off and once I start actually doing things, planning my show and doing what I say I'm going to do when I'm announcing my show, especially in the advertisement, then we'd be okay with it. Let me talk to this caller, though, and I'm not talking about the caller. I'm just saying in general, that's the reason why I really don't answer phone calls, because I've seen a lot of people who call in, and some of the people I didn't even know they were on the hole. I don't see them on my switchboard, so I don't really answer. But anyway, Caller?
Yes.
How you doing?
Oh, just well. I just wanted to let you know that I could hear you. I just got on the station. I just
thank
to know,
you.
You know, when I was trying, that's what I was calling in for.
Oh, thank
you. Know that I could hear you. That's all.
Yeah. I
can hear you both on the phone and on my computer.
Oh, okay. And, thank you very much.
Okay, sir.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
That was awesome. I got my microphone actually worked, and thank you, caller, for calling in and telling me that it works. God bless. God bless you. I'm going to let y'all listen to this little clip I got, and I will be back.
The last thing the men behind the curtain want is a conscious, informed public capable of critical thinking, which is why a continually fraudulent zeitgeist is output via religion, the mass media, and the educational system. They seek to keep you in a distracted, naive bubble, and they are doing a damn good job of it. In 2005, an arrangement between Canada, Mexico, and the United States was made. This arrangement, unannounced to the public, unregulated by Congress, merges...
I apologize for that cuss word. I didn't even catch it myself. I was like, wow, oops. Well, I supposed to have beat that cuss word out, but I hit the wrong file, and I wasn't going to play that file until I took it out. So we're going to go ahead and go to part two of that clip.
And trying to get rid of Chavez. And the first two they've accomplished, Chavez they didn't accomplish. And so you're going to see guys going to caves looking for... looking for people that they're never going to find. You know, he's laughing about the fact that you have this war on terror. There's no real enemy. He's talking about how by having this war on terror, you can never win it because it's an eternal war. And so you can always keep taking people's liberties away. And I said, how are you going to convince people that this war is real? He said, but the media. The media can convince everybody it's real. I mean, you know, it's just that you keep talking about things. You keep saying it over and over and over again, and eventually people believe it. You know, you created the Federal Reserve.
One of Adolf Hitler's men said that if you repeat something over and over again, people will believe it. And that is true. If you say that there is weapons of mass destruction about a million times, people will believe it. And that is so true. But once again, I apologize for that part two, because when I was uploading the files, I didn't mean to upload that one. I was supposed to edit it out with my software, and then I just repent on that one. Okay, so the media is lying to us, and that's their true aim, is to make reality seem to be their version of reality, at least, is actually false. Now, a little bit of truth and a little bit of falsehood makes for a bad recipe sooner or later. And sometimes the media actually tells you the truth, but they tell you what their masters want you to hear. Okay, so they can get their agenda passed. And they look the other way for various other things. They don't really talk about, like, this climate control in Copenhagen, climate treaty, a climate conference in Copenhagen in December. They're not mentioning it. So what they do is they look the other way. And if they're looking the other way and they're not telling the American people that this treaty could possibly be the downfall of this country, to me, it is a travesty. It is a very tragedy. It's a travesty and a tragedy. I'm going to play this part of the... and I'm going to go back to the last... because I had started talking about the last clip that I played. And I'm going to make a point about the media not letting us know, not wanting us to know the real truth about any issue. Now, this climate deal or this climate conference that they have in Copenhagen, thinking, President Obama is going to go over there and give his side, and then they're going to sign this thing. And the signing of this thing could cripple the rest of the economy. Reason why is because if there's a company who creates something, and, you know, let's say they create widgets to go in a, you know, in a steam engine, and the international body comes up to them and says, your climate ratio is 50-5, you know, just making up crap, then we're going to shut you down. So if they have a legit treaty where they want to say that we're creating too many carbon monoxide poisons as a country, so it's not fair to the third world countries, so we're going to punish the United States by slapping penalties on you because, this once again, this treaty is going to be signed by our president, our beloved president, yada, 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 yada. So let's listen to this little clip.
In satisfaction of what is called, coyly, a climate debt, because we've been burning CO2 and they haven't, and we've been screwing up the climate. We haven't been screwing up the climate, but that's the line. And the third purpose of this new entity, this government, is enforcement. How many of you think that the word election or democracy or vote or ballot occurs anywhere in the 200 pages of that treaty? Quite right, it doesn't appear once. So at last, the communists who piled out of the Berlin Wall and into the environmental movement and took over Greenpeace so that my friends who founded it left within a year because they'd captured it, now the apotheosis is at hand. They are about to impose a communist world government on the world. You have a president who has very strong sympathies with that point of view. He's going to sign. He'll sign anything. He's a Nobel Peace Laureate. Of course he is.
Okay. Yes, he won the Nobel Peace Prize, but he will probably sign that treaty. And the average American citizen is looking the other way, just like they're looking the other way, just like we're looking the other way to talk to people about Jesus. We look the other way for everything. If you're a smoker, you look the other way that you might die from smoking. If you're a drinker, you look the other way that you might die from drinking. If you're an eater, which is most of us, but if you're a bad eater, you eat junk food, you look the other way because you don't want to face reality. Okay, and that's our society. And that's most of you out there in the audience, and me too at times. We don't want to face the truth, you know. Our garage is dirty. We need to go clean it up. So, we definitely don't want to hear that there's global warming and the polar caps might shift and all this other crap. But Al Gore, the inventor of the internet, seems to be making billions of dollars off of lying to the public. But this climate control bill is just the icing on the cake of scare tactics that if we don't fix the climate, I mean, if we don't fix the the environment, we may have global warming and we might burn up, you know, which is not true because it's been proven that it's getting cooler instead of warmer. Okay, we're going to play the second part of this climate.
And the trouble is this. If that treaty is signed, your constitution says that it takes precedence over your constitution. And you can't resile from that treaty unless you get the agreement of all the other states' parties. And because you'll be the biggest paying country, they're not going to let you out. So, thank you, America. You were the beacon of freedom to the world. It is a privilege merely to stand on this soil of freedom while it is still free. But in the next few weeks, unless you stop it, your president will sign your freedom, your democracy, and your prosperity away forever, and neither you nor any subsequent government you may elect will have any power whatsoever to take it back again. That is how serious it is. I have read the treaty. I've seen this stuff about government and climate debt and enforcement. They are going to do this to you, whether you like it or no. But I think it is here, here in your great nation, which I so love and I so admire. It is here that perhaps at this 11th hour, at the 59th minute and the 59th second, you will rise up and you will stop your president from signing that dreadful treaty.
And yes, it is this December that he will probably sign this treaty. Like the man said, we have to stop it. And if we don't, we're headed even further down the pike. We're headed to a one world government, one world economy, one world religion, one world government. And if we don't stop it, the United States will cease to exist in the form that it is now. And the Russian economist talked and said that the United States will be split up into fractions and factions, into pieces. Six different pieces, I think he said. And that's not a good thing, because the United States, people are today trying to find the United States in the Bible in the last days, but they seem to have trouble 100% identifying the United States as an existing nation in the last days. The only place I actually see the United States is in Ezekiel 30 and 39, when Russia invades Israel. Now, people think that's Armageddon, but I beg to differ big time, because if that is Armageddon, then why did it take 7 years to burn the weapons? Just little clues. See, people dismiss little things in the Bible, or things that are not actually said are just as much as important as things that are said. Like, for instance, Syria is not mentioned in Ezekiel 38-39. Now, I'm going to get back to what I was just got to talking about, the climate bill, but the United States is not in that. It is not there. And like the man said, the United States is flirting with disaster. And the president that we have now, and I actually promised that I wasn't going to say too many bad things about the president, try to avoid it at least. But we're going down a slippery slope, folks. And just because he's the first black president don't mean anything. I mean, if your black sister cheats you out of some money, wouldn't you be ticked off? You know, well, that's your sister. You should be less mad at her than you are Obama. Why don't you check Obama? If your sister, if your brother came over to the house and said, I want to borrow $100, you're going to ask him 50,000 different questions. But nobody ever asked President Obama, why are you going to spend money to get us out of a debt? I mean, get us out of a financial problem. Didn't we spend money to get in it? Nobody asked any questions. And I think we should ask the questions. Now, I'm going to get right back to the climate thing in a second, but people are looking for a savior. And the people in the church are looking for a savior. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about. I've never seen so much hype about a man in my whole entire life. I'm 40 years old. I've never, ever seen that much hype from one man in my whole entire life than I have seen when President Obama was being elected. Now, the hype that he put up, shouldn't the African-American community figure something out by now? You would think so, right? You would think the white community. You would think the Puerto Rican community, the Mexican. I mean, he's doing the status quo. He's doing the same very exact thing that all the other presidents have done, but he's going a lot further, and I'm talking about as far as doing something obvious for the nation. I'm not talking about going over to overseas making stupid speeches about we are all brothers. You know, I don't want to hear that, and neither does other nations want to hear that. You think Britain don't like their sovereignty? You think Mexico don't like their sovereignty? You think Venezuela don't like their sovereignty? You think the United States, you think the American people don't like their sovereignty? I think we do. And see, the African Americans were looking for a savior in Obama. You say, well, that's not nice to say. I'm saying it. I'm going to say it. The only savior, there's only one mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5, between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. It's not President Obama. When we get so, if I told somebody right now that Jesus Christ is coming back, yeah, he is. Okay, not now though, maybe 5 years later. Let's get the Obama administration out of the way first. I mean, people are, the Bible says don't, first of all, let me get on the people who are looking for the Antichrist first. Those very same people would dog you out for being a date setter. I don't think you should be a date setter, and I'm not going to be a date setter. But I'm saying, when you say Jesus might come back this year, oh, no, no, he's not going to come. He's not ready yet because number one, number two, number three, number four. And the Bible says in Titus 2:3, looking to 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It didn't tell you to look for the Antichrist. We got to be in the tribulation period. Obama. It didn't tell you to look for Juan Carlos. It didn't tell you to look for Henry Kissinger or some other person. I am the Antichrist. I am Henry Kissinger. And I am, my screen just blanked off for a second. I was going to think I was going to have to call back in. I don't know what happened, but we're back. Well, anyway, Henry Kissinger is not the Antichrist, folks. Why did we spend so much time looking for the Antichrist when we should be looking for Jesus Christ? And if we start looking for Jesus Christ, maybe this climate bill won't get passed. Climate control bill. And I'm going to play this clip over, and I don't mean to beat a horse, dead horse, but I'm going to play this part again. Because I left off, I made a lot of mistakes, folks. And the first, and I'm still apologizing to y'all for the one clip with the cuss word in it. I did not mean to upload that clip. I meant to edit it, and that's a major mistake. That's like, but let me let y'all hear this climate control treaty part two. Now, I left off part one, so I made some critical mistakes, but may God bless me. Here's this clip.
In satisfaction of what is called, coyly, a climate debt. Because we've been burning CO2 and they haven't, and we've been screwing up the climate. We haven't been screwing up the climate, but that's the line. And the third purpose of this new entity, this government, is enforcement. How many of you think that the word election or democracy or vote or ballot occurs anywhere in the 200 pages of that treaty? Quite right, it doesn't appear once. So at last, the communists who piled out of the Berlin Wall and into the environmental movement and took over Greenpeace so that my friends who founded it left within a year because they'd captured it. Now the apotheosis is at hand. They are about to impose a communist world government on the world. You have a president who has very strong sympathies with that point of view. He's going to sign. He'll sign anything. He's a Nobel Peace Laureate. Of course he is.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and play part three.
And the trouble is this. If that treaty is signed, your constitution says that it takes precedence over your constitution. And you can't resile from that treaty unless you get the agreement of all the other states' parties. And because you'll be the biggest paying country, they're not going to let you out. So, thank you, America. You were the beacon of freedom for the world. It is a privilege merely to stand on this soil of freedom while it is still free. But in the next few weeks, unless you stop it, your president will sign your freedom, your democracy, and your prosperity away forever. And neither you nor any subsequent government you may elect will have any power whatsoever to take it back again. That is how serious it is. I have read the treaty. I've seen this stuff about government and climate debt and enforcement. They are going to do this to you, whether you like it or not. But I think it is here, here in your great nation, which I so love and I so admire. It is here that perhaps at this 11th hour, at the 59th minute and the 59th second, you will rise up and you will stop your president from signing that dreadful treaty.
Okay, I don't know how that one turned out, really. Matter of fact, I had went to another page for right now, and I don't know how that's going to turn out. So I'm trying to get back to my dog, to my switchboard, because I thought that when I was trying to look for this guy's name, Lord, can't remember his name, so I can tell y'all who that is. And I was like, wait a minute, they don't even know who he is. So that's my fault. That's my fault. But anyway, go ahead and talk to y'all, continue to talk to y'all about this climate bill, because I think it's important that we understand that this thing is important, that it's not signed. But what can we do? What can we actually do to make the president not sign it? Well, we can pray, for one thing, that he will not sign this treaty, because this treaty was going to set us on the path to world government. And we are headed to a world government, whether we like it or not. And the military-industrial complex hates God. These globalists hate God. They don't want God to be anywhere near their scheme. And boy, is it a scheme. It's a bad scheme. And if we don't wake up, we're going to be having no money in the bank, or the bank's going to be closed on us for months, and they got to control us that way. But there's no control device more prevalent in our society than food. Heck, we're one of the most overweighted countries, if not the overweighted country in the world. And so, with that being said, food is a big-time crutch. And if you don't know that by now, look, you should come to my city, and we got a restaurant everywhere you go. And these globalists want to grab us by the guts and bring us under submission to them by slapping these regulations on us, rules and regulations that we have to abide by their constitutes so we can function. So the climate control bill, what is that doing? That is saying that we have to jump in line with their system of carbon usage. And to me, they want to punish us. They say it's not fair to the third world countries that we're killing everybody, but that's not true. It's been proven that they got lies out that talk about spraying spray cans in your house. It was killing people. You really believe that? Every time your wife sprays her hair, she's killing somebody. Does that really make any sense at all? That don't make any sense, do it? I don't think so. I think it's kind of, if I can use the word, retarded. We'll be back after these messages.
Gentlemen, the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
That sounds like my headroom. I don't know if y'all heard it, but on my side, it's a lot of these files are breaking up. Bear with me. I'm trying to get into the chat room because I'm not actually looking at the chat room. And I use my other computer because I got the computer to monitor the chat room and the computer to do other things with, and I apologize for that. Will you just bear with me, please? But that was John F. Kennedy talking about the media's responsibility to inform the public of things that are need to be exposed. And this climate control treaty needs to be exposed. This thing, I don't know if it's early December or late December, but God forewarns that we will be going into a world government in the future. Then it wasn't near at all. But in Galatians 13:16-18, it says, and he caused us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that have the mark or the number, or the name of the beast. His wisdom, let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 603 and 6. And then once again, that's Revelations 13:16-18. If you take the mark, you're going to be doomed forever. So we added two more governments. And if you read the rest of the book of Revelations, these people that receive these marks also resort. The Bible talks about for those who worship the beast will receive a sore upon their bodies. And to me, this technology is here for and is very close at hand. Now, this this climate bill, climate control treaty, has nothing to do with the mark of the beast, but it has to do with world government. And the reason why I read Revelation 13 is because it talks about once we arrive at Revelation 13:16-18, we have arrived at world government. And see, the bridge, the IFID bills are already in Congress being passed right as we speak. So it's not like we're years away from it, like some people think we are. But we are just around the corner. Matter of fact, we are a national disaster or a terrorist attack. Or in 9 times out of 10, both of those can be false flags. You see, a national disaster can be false flags. You late. There's such things as earthquake machines. There are such things as HARP, which is weather, to control the weather. They definitely can bring down buildings with demolition. That's no problem. But see, if the American people are not aware of what's going on because they're not being told, we have to go research. You know, it's just like the Word of God. We have to, there's probably about 3 Bibles in almost every house, I guarantee you. You know, and we got dust on our Bibles. We have to read the Word of God. Well, the same thing applies for learning the truth. If you wanted to buy some insurance from a right company, you can go on the internet and check it out. You know, if you don't have a computer, go to a friend's house. I mean, there are many people that can help you with this, with learning about the truth. One website is www.infowars.com. Alex Jones. Also, go to www.raptureready.com, and they talk about Bible prophecy. And I'm going to have my website up pretty soon too. And go to my page on Blog Talk Radio, and you can hook up with my blog at least, and go check that out. But there are so many things that we need to know that we're not being told. The Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's also distorted knowledge. And we can have distorted knowledge. And we're sitting up here ready to pass gifts to each other, set up the phony fake Christmas tree. And we don't know that our country is being sold down the pike by a socialist president. You say, well, why? I thought you said you weren't going to talk about it. Well, I'm going to be able to say something about the president. I mean, that means John wouldn't be able to call Herod the Vipers, or call the Philistines, the Pharisees, excuse me, brood of vipers. In that case, now we're supposed to practice love, and I pray for the president. I'm going to continue to pray for the president. But if I had a son, there are some people out there who have kids, and they're on the phone there in 5 minutes talking to somebody about their kid. Why don't you just talk to God? So if they're going to talk about the kid, I'm at least going to talk about President Obama. I mean, and I'm not going to always harp on President Obama, but I do believe that God put him in place. But in that case, he's also put Saddam Hussein in place, and Venezuela's president, Chavez, he's also put him in place. He's even put the Cuban leader, Fidel Castro, in place. Oh, you didn't know God puts everybody in place? So why are we criticizing them? Did he say just our president? He did say the leader's over you. But there's going to come a point where we need to point out President Obama's where he's taking us. There's a hate crimes bill that's been passed, And now to a point where if you watch in 1984, it's kind of crazy. They call black, white, cold, hot, you know, fast, slow, slow, fast. They're hate bill is where a radio station will talk about a homosexual or a Jewish, you know, race or religion. And not only can't they not talk bad about those groups, but there's even coming down the pike, and I don't know if it's in this hate bill or not, where a point where you have to have a pause on your station for these people to have an opportunity to have a say-so on your station. So if you're a Christian, you have to make way homosexual hour. Oh, you, I mean, I'm not kidding. And if that's the case, then we're close to the tribulation period. Hate crime bill just been passed. Every year there's some mad big time bill being passed that speeding up the clock. We're speeding up. We're speeding up tremendously. And the movie that I saw yesterday, 2012, is not even close to the tribulation period. There's even coming a time where an angel will be flying through the sky giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's even coming a time where the sun will move so close to the earth that it will scorch man and they will not repent. It's coming very closely at hand. And some of these movies aren't depicting the gods. Jesus said that if he didn't come back at the time he came back, no flesh will survive. What does that tell you about the end times and the last days? And you know the funny thing about it? God has a sense of humor. The Bible says that the sun moves close. It says the sun moves close to the earth, scorching man. Now, if that is not global warming, I don't know what it is. But see, he gave them what they want. You know, there's a saying, give the people what they want. Well, he gave the people what they want. You know, they want to preach about global warming. You know, the earth is warming up. Well, at this point, it's getting cooler. But in the tribulation period, it's going to get hot. It's going to get hot. And man will not repent. Isn't that crazy? You don't use the word retarded anymore. But if you're going to use it, that is straight up retarded. Man will not repent. Now, if you see an angel flying through the sky giving the gospel, don't you think you might want to repent? Men love sin that much that they won't repent. What is there to hold on to this world? Most of the people who really love the world are depressed. Let me take my pills. And nothing against people out there that's depressed, but you need to go to Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace, and he will give you peace. You know, if you're feeling sad and lonely, once you get right with God, return to God. Return to Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He will bring perfect peace to you, if your eyes are stayed on him. Remember when Peter, when Jesus said, was walking on water, and Peter said, bid me to come out, Master, to you. And he says, come. And he starts walking on the water, and when he took his eyes off Jesus, he sunk. Well, imagine mankind not having their eyes on Jesus. Now, I'm not saying everybody that's not, you know, people that's not saved aren't happy. I'm not saying that, but, you know, there's people out there popping pills that are sad. They're on drugs. They're on alcohol. They need peace. Even over there and overseas, their soldiers are killing themselves. Because they don't think there's not any hope. When I was overseas, I felt kind of weird. It's like I was trapped because I was a lower enlisted. I wasn't a sergeant when I first went over there. And I just felt like I'll never see my wife again. It's like sort of a weird feeling. It's like you're in a cage. And once you get out of that cage, you're going to feel free. But people go over there and they commit suicide, or they go ahead and shoot somebody else. And that's a sad thing, and that's going on right now as we speak. But whoever takes the mark of the beast will be cast into the lake of fire. And see, the same people who were food throughout time and food throughout history and food even in 9/11 will be the same people who will be food again. But see, it's going to come a time in the tribulation period where the general public will stop being food. And I ain't talking about the ones who's going to fight against uproar against the government. I'm not talking about them. Well, actually, I am, because some of those people are going to be saved too. But I'm generally talking about there's going to come a divining point where people will understand that the Antichrist is false. Now, is that going to be just slightly before the tribulation period starts, the Great Tribulation period, the second 3.5-year period? Or are they going to find that out before? Because 144,000 Jews and the two witnesses will be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and the angel flying through the sky. Oh, by the way, oh, did you see that angel flying through the sky? He sure is flying fast. Well, Henry, why'd you get saved then? No, that's okay. That's just Hollywood doing that. That's just special effects. What do you mean by special effects? That's just special effects. That's all I know. Linda, leave me alone. That's just special effects. There'd be a lie. The Antichrist was a lie. He says the Antichrist was a lie. And God will send them a strong delusion that they'll believe the lie. You mean to tell me you believe when you see an angel flying through the sky, you still don't get it? Come on now. You don't get it when you see an angel flying through the sky. You don't see it, get it, when Moses and Elijah or whoever it is land on the street and y'all sending presents and gifts, and all of a sudden they just get up, dust themselves off, and fly and float into the air. You don't get it? You're not going to get it?
No, just let me have some weed, man. That's all I need is my drugs. Nice batch of weed, and I'll be fine.
Wow. And people really think that way, you know. People really think that way. I say, look, man, if you that crazy, I'll buy you a bag of weed if I wasn't saved. I mean, I'm serious, man. Heaven to a Christian, this is hell. And to an unsaved person, this is heaven. And you say, what do you mean? To a Christian, this is hell. Because we go through trials and tribulations, we're tempted by the devil, we have sad points where we get sick, you know, people dying, you know, we have tragedy in the world, you know, we lose relatives. This is hell for the Christian. This is heaven. But see, the bad thing is that heaven for the unsaved only lasts for 72 years at the most. And for some of my friends, it lasts for 20 years. The beautiful thing about a Christian is this hell on earth only lasts for 72 years, and if you die at an early age. But heaven lasts for eternity. So their hell lasts for eternity. Our heaven lasts for eternity. Their heaven lasts for at the most 72 years. Our heaven lasts for eternity. Isn't it crazy? And see, the Bible is all you need. You don't need to know about all these conspiracies and things like that. You don't have to know about all that stuff. I just talk to people to wake them up this way. But you don't have to know about that John Kennedy was shot by the Illuminati or the Federal Reserve, not federal, to get into heaven. You don't need to know that. But I'm telling you this. When you get into the tribulation period, some weird stuff is going to happen where it's going to make the conspiracy theory stuff look like pudding compared to German chocolate. I'm serious. And so we think that we're going to get by without knowing things that are happening in this world, but we're not. We're not going to get by. We're going to have to come into the light to see that we are on our way to a one-world government, and this climate control bill, a climate control treaty, is going to get us into a one-world government. But let's listen to Eisenhower, and I always play this on every radio program. I don't know why, but the military industrial complex is trying to suck the blood, and the blood represents dollar bills, but suck the economy out of this nation, destroy it for a one world government. Hey, wouldn't you bleed the country dry before you're done with it? Before you turn a lady over after you raped her, would you, I'm not saying it, let me say it in a nice way. Would the rapist continue to get everything out of her before he gives her back? Probably so. And we as a nation is being raped, pillaged, bamboozled, hoodwinked, and we will wake up on the continent our forefathers supposed to have created, but left us with an awesome nation, and now it is disintegrating. And see, this black and white issue is destroying this nation. A house divided against itself will not stand. You say, well, we got a black president. Well, did you see when that professor went into the house, went in trying to get into his own house, and the police came over and did his job, but things happen where the president was talking about something he knew nothing about and was just dogging the cop out, and he had to have dinner and a beer at the White House and blah, 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 blah. Remember that? Well, folks, we have a Marxist in office. We have a president that is a communist, and we can't really tell because George Bush spent all our money in war, and he's breaking us with war. But you notice that President Obama really don't help anybody. I thought Democrats were supposed to help people. I don't see any bills. Well, we're going to educate your kids. What a overblown... After this election, I will probably not watch any more elections ever. Well, I'm going to watch it if I have a radio program. But I look at it this way. A Democrat and Republican are ran by the same people. Say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm going to stay on the surface of this point that I'm going to make. I'm going to stay on the surface. If I take a train and you take a plane, and we're in Washington State. We're both in Washington State. We're trying to get to Washington, D.C. You take a plane, I take a train. We're both going to get to Washington, D.C. Just I'm going to get there at a different time than you are. Well, the Democrats and Republicans, we still have abortion. Unfortunately, we still have abortion. You think Republicans are going to get rid of abortion? What if the president just come out of nowhere and say, I'm going to sign an executive order saying there are no more abortions? Would that just mess up the altar bell Well, women just give up. Now, I feel bad for women who have had an abortion. And I think we should, have remorse for them who have remorse for the baby, that they actually killed the baby or, you know, gave up a baby. I think we should feel, sympathy for them who have sympathy for the baby that they lost. But if a lady had an abortion and she's just like, whatever, I think we should dog them out. Say, well, that's judging. Well, I can show you a lot of times when you're probably judging someone and you don't have any idea you are. I think everybody has that type of thing, a judgment. And God has given us that judgment. Should I run a light or should I stay at the light? If it's 2 o'clock in the morning, do I run the light or do I stay at the light? I mean, you make a judgment. If it's blinking, you should go. But when do you go? It's your judgment. I get so sick and tired of this simplicity, simple Christianity, I call it, where people are saying, you're judging them. You're judging them. Well, Jesus came out. The first thing he said is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus was not nice. If you read the word of God, he'd tell you that broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be to find it. But narrow is the way that leads to life. And few will find it. Jesus went into the church and tipped over the money desk. Now, I can picture him going into T.D. Jakes' church, tipping over all those tables. Well, he's trying to get the message out to learn, to teach. Jesus is the merchandise. Jesus is the merchandise. Now, I bet you a lot of people don't know he said that. What did it say in 2 Peter? Then he will make they will make merchandise of you. Jesus is the merchandise. You seen one of T.D. Jakes' movies? They're terrible. Now, they're good for drama. To me, a T.D. Jakes movie should be made by an unsaved person. If you're going to get God's word out, you're not just making a product. You preaching the gospel.
Oh, I'm on Larry King's show, but I don't think God really judges anybody.
Okay, Joel Osteen.
We just sing Kumbaya and just love everybody. Because my name is Joel Osteen, and I have the world's biggest church. Matter of fact, I have the biggest club, the membership club. And I want everybody to just love each other and just embrace the new Christianity that Brother Rick Warren has given us.
Rick Warren, the American pastor. The Bible says test the spirits. It also says to make sure we're in the faith. That means me, you, and everybody else out there listening. We can't just criticize T.D. Jakes and all these other people. Or Benny Hinn, or any of them, Creflo Dollar. How you gonna call your last name Dollar? You trying to be a preacher? Come on, man. The Almighty Dollar. Yeah, you need some money. You got to get the stuff first. You got to get the stuff. The stuff. That's what's gonna send people to hell. Stuff. That's what Creflo Dollar said. When you get the stuff, then you know that you got the stuff. That have the stuff. I don't need no stuff. I got enough stuff in my garage. Matter of fact, it's too much stuff. I got to get that stuff out of there. what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? The moment in time that everyone will remember is the first 5 minutes to heaven and the first 5 minutes they get to hell. Can you imagine dying and going to hell not knowing why you died? Somebody just came up behind you. And what about the football player that died on 4th of July? I forgot his name, played for the Tennessee Titans. I mean, you suppose he knows how you... I mean, I'm pretty sure he does, because once you get shot, I do believe the spirit hovers over the body for a distinct period of time, and you'll see his body laying there, and I'll say, oh, man, she shot me. I mean, I ain't trying to be funny or nothing, but I'm just saying, here's a tragedy, folks. When I was drinking, and when I was in the Army, I was drinking, and I wasn't driving, I was in the back seat. And the car, and the guy lost control, hit a tree. Now, I could have been dead in that car wreck. And the bad thing is, when I hit my head, I didn't even, the fireman asked me, what's your name? I didn't even know my name. Now, imagine if I'd have died at impact, I wouldn't have no idea. You know, especially people who die in their sleeps. Now, I'm pretty sure the body hovers over, and you can see yourself laying on the ground. And that's just my belief. I mean, I'm not saying I can find it in the Bible anywhere. That's not what I'm saying. But I do believe that we have some form of consciousness once you die. You know, and when Jesus was talking to the rich man, and remember Lazarus, well, actually, that was Abraham. And Lazarus was with Abraham in the bosom of Abraham, which is paradise. The rich man asked Lazarus to bring me some water. Bring me just wet the tip of your finger and bring me some water. So if we can't come to you, there's a gulf there. That's sad, man. That's sad. That people who are dying every day, you know, in the newspapers and older people, especially older people, but people who die, you know, my cousin was shot at a club, you know, they can't come back. You know, if they're not in the wrong spot, they can't come back. Anybody say, well, how you know they're in hell? Well, if Jesus says broad is the gate that leads to destruction and many people find it, you think he's lying? I believe that at least out of I can just say the last 35 people that I know back in my hometown, I'll say 28 are not in the right place. You say, that's a lot of people. Well, narrow is the way. Well, I don't really know. You know, I'm not a player to know. But that's unfortunately, I don't want to say that. But I'm just giving you an example of the people that I know that... It's hard. It's easy if you love Jesus and you want to be committed to Jesus and he works through you to get that salvation done. You got to let Jesus work in you to get that salvation done, because if you're going to work yourself, the salvation will not be done. Philippians 1:6, it talks about God will finish a work that he has started in you until the day of Jesus Christ. And when that day comes, you're going to know that you have made it to the promised land. And the true promised land is making it to heaven. Okay, so it's being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is performing a work in us. It says in Hosea chapter 4 that my people perish for lack of knowledge. The knowledge that God is asking us to know is in his word. He wants us to have that knowledge of God. Wants us to have that knowledge of His Son, that Jesus Christ works through us. One thing, that's the most important thing. You probably say, "Well, what He did on the cross is important," but we must understand that we can't work our way to heaven. We can't get to heaven without Jesus Christ not only saving us, but being our Lord and working through us, working out that salvation. We must rely on God on a daily basis in order to be saved. We will not be saved by saying at the tip of our tongue, I'm saved. It must come from the inner core of the heart. Of a man's heart, it must be deep into the heart. Like a girl who stays on the phone with his boyfriend that she's met, and it's her first boyfriend. She just loves him from the deeps of her heart. But we must love God more than that. See, there's a lot of surface Christians. Now, I'm not talking about the people who have, you know, battles and is willing to battle. I'm talking about the people who are surface Christians. On the surface, we're Christians. They speak with their lips, but their heart is far from him. And see, Jesus wants us to have a peaceful heart life, but we must understand that if a bird lands on the ground, he knows exactly how many birds have landed on the ground that day on the whole earth. He knows how many hairs on your head. He cares about you. He cares. It's not like he don't care when he hasn't said anything to me. Well, God went 400 years without saying something. That didn't change the fact that he didn't care about the Israelites. To this day, he loves Israel. Those are his people. He said, well, no, Israel's not his people. Israel's just, he's canceled Israel. Israel does not belong to God. Yeah, people still believe that. Well, if you read he says that all Israel, he says not everyone who said, you know, who says that they're Israel is Israel. But Israel is God's land, that's God's nation. But they must fall under the covenant that Abraham was given by God. And that is how. Now, Paul said that in Romans chapter 10, brethren, my heart desires and prayed to God for Israel is that they may be saved. So Israel is God's. Paul is referencing that he wants Israel to be saved, that he, his will is for Israel to be saved. Why is his will for Israel to be saved? Because at this point, Israel is still not looking at Jesus as the Messiah. And at this, I'm talking about the point that Paul is saying, I wish that Israel be saved. They're not looking at Israel as Jesus as the Messiah. And today, as today we speak, they're not looking for Jesus as Messiah. But Jesus, God loves them. And if God can say, okay, Israel's not looking for God in the way they should be looking for God. They're looking for God to come and sign a peace deal and just seize the land. But that's what they're looking for Jesus to do, seize the land automatically. And he did not do that. And so he died on the cross. And even when Peter came up to Jesus and Jesus said, I must, in 3 days I will die, and in 3 days they'll raise me up. He says, no, you can't do that. He says, get behind me, Satan. So even Peter thought, he didn't even know that Jesus was going to die on the cross. But it was all in the New Old Testament that there would be someone in Isaiah, there would be someone who would come and would die for the sins of the world as a sacrifice for the whole world. And God, and then he grafted in the church. He says, I'll call those who are not my people, my people. And I call the people who are my people, they still going to be called his people. They're still God's people. There's no changing. And it cracks me up that people would say, and they would be Romans, there be Romans and the rest of the Bible who says that the church is something that was concealed, sealed. And to me, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And with this being said, the church was a mystery. Because what it was is that God wanted the Gentiles saved too. So Jesus died for the whole world, for the sins of the whole world. And that's why he told Abraham that you can't even count. See all the stars in the sky? You can't count. You see the sands on the seashore? You can't count how many people will be in heaven. Now, are more people going to be in hell than in heaven? We don't know. That's speculation. But hell has enlarged itself. And if hell has enlarged itself, we need to get out there and preach the gospel to all people. If this is a Christian nation, and I might hurt some people's feelings right now, but if this is a Christian nation, when you walk out your door, you go to the gas station and you're going to get, you know, you're going to get a bag of chips. Shouldn't you be able to talk to the person who is at the counter about Jesus? And then once you get done, you know, y'all say praise God, y'all walk off and you get in the car and you go to work and over the coffee pot, you know, just before you go to work, you get a coffee and you go, hey man, let me tell you about this movie I saw, man. It's called Lamb, you know, the Lamb of God, you know. And well, this was a cool movie, man. And Jesus, blah, 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 blah. Instead, you're talking about the 49ers beating up on the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football. Shouldn't you be able to get on the cell phone and call your boy? What's up, man? Man, let me tell you, man, I was blessed today. Praise God. Or shouldn't you be able to go to school and stand up and give a presentation? And no shame. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You'd be able to tell people about Jesus. Holler out. Shout out. Instead of saying like T.D. Jakes, Jesus is the merchandise. You want to be saved. You want to get other people saved. Your chief aim is not to sit in front of the TV all day and watch football. And I'm looking in the mirror at myself. I love football. I could start at 8 o'clock, especially in the Pacific Standard Time. I could stay at 8 o'clock to nine, from 8 to 8. And then go overtime watching football and catch an overtime game. Jesus is the merchandise. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. We need to be for God. No, America. God bless America. Once we bless God too. Once we bless God, how about that? Bless him with our life. Offer our life as a living sacrifice. But we can't do that because Jesus is the merchandise. We want a world government when Obama's the president. And yes, I am Henry Kissinger. I want to see him too as president of the world. Who thinks Obama's the Antichrist? Obama's not the Antichrist. The Bible says that the Antichrist should have a look more stout than his fellows. The king of fierce features. What do y'all, when you hear the word fierce, doesn't that mean intimidating? When the Bible calls the Antichrist the Assyrian, why are people like, different, I ain't gonna mention no ministries, but why are these ministries looking at Obama as the Antichrist? The Bible says, looking for the blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I am going to point out that Obama's not the Antichrist. Bill Clinton is not the Antichrist. Ronald Reagan definitely ain't the Antichrist. John F. Kennedy is a pretty boy. He does not have a look more. The Antichrist will be a good-looking guy, but have a look more stout than his fellows. the king of fierce features. Daniel chapter 7. That means he, the king of fierce countenance, meaning his hair slipped back, he's got the green eyes, character lines, tan, looked like he's 6 foot four, towering over Obama when he shakes his hands looking down at Obama. That's what the Antichrist will look like. The Syrian king, a president of Syria, when that's Damascus is blown up, he will take over, and then he will take over a region, subduing three, and then he will take over the whole Mediterranean Union, which is not just the European Union. The Roman Empire was more than just the European Union. So a lot of these Christians, they get tunnel visioned, thinking, oh, there's no rapture because God can't lift the rock that he has not. God can transport anybody. God can count the birds and landing on the ground. He can count the hair on your head. God can do, that's little stuff. So he can't transmute people out. Find me the word church in Revelation chapters 4 to whenever. You won't find it. The church is not there. Oh, the saints is there. He said frustrate the saints. But why is he speaking against those who are in heaven? The Antichrist. The Bible says he's speaking against those who are in heaven. Why is he doing that? Because he's fussing at the church. Oh, you think they got raptured out? Those UFOs, those people are in heaven. So what? You are here in my heaven. The Antichrist is not known yet, folks. He's not even on the scene. He won't be on the scene until the church is taken out. If you can believe the church will be taken out. He told the church of Philadelphia, I will keep you out of the time of testing. The word church is no longer in the rest of the book of Revelations after chapter 3. He says, he told the church of Philadelphia, I will keep you out of the time of testing. That's not away from. Now, God could keep protect every Christian, but if the Antichrist hates Christians, how is he protecting the Christians when the Christians, the Bible says that the Christian, he should frustrate the saints. So how is he?
Oh, yeah, what about the elect? The elect of God.
What about them? They're not the church? Well, actually, the saints are the church and the elect is the church. But those two, the saints is a universal name for those who are set apart for God. So Moses was a saint. Peter was a saint. Ruth was a saint. Esther was a saint. Me and you are saints. Wouldn't you like to be a saint too? No, I'm just joking. But yeah, wouldn't you like to be one? But the elect is Israel. But the elect can also be, because we're elected, every Christian who lived. But the church is a certain entity. Not every saint is in the church, but the church is saints. Moses was not part of the church. Abraham was not part of the church. We're grafted in from Abraham, but Abraham was not part of the church. Abraham, we're grafted into Abraham. We're hanging off the promises God made to Abraham. We're hanging off those promises. But let me say something for 6 minutes about the climate bill. Pray for the nation. Pray for the nation. Pray for this nation. 2010. Now, I believe the movie 2012 is a propaganda device. And I think one of these days, life will not be the same in this world. I do believe that we're headed to that type of climate. But we need to pray for our nation. Pray for all the people that are listening. Pray for those who are on Blog Talk Radio. Pray for those who are on Facebook. That's millions and millions of people. Pray. We need to pray. Pray for the president.
Pray for the vice president. Pray for Dick Cheney. Oh, my gosh. Pray for Dick Cheney. I'm not looking at the chat room, so I apologize. but pray, pray, pray. And when you're done, continue to pray. I want to play this Eisenhower clip. We'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizen can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
And what he said was, we must have an alarm, alert populace. Same thing with John Kennedy said in this speech to the media, that the media's responsibility was to keep the American people informed. And that is on the physical surface. Imagine the spiritual surface. Jesus said that, the Bible said that my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's in Hosea chapter 4. Lack of knowledge is also distorted knowledge. When we're told over and over again there were no weapons of mass destruction, there were no weapons of mass destruction. There are weapons of mass destruction, excuse me. There are weapons of mass destruction. We tend to believe it. When we're told that there are many ways to get to heaven, over and over again, pretty soon we're going to believe it. Even if the case, we're told that, don't worry, you're going to be okay. Just go ahead and continue to drink and get drunk every day. You'll be fine. You still, God loves us. You just say a prayer one time at a Billy Graham's conference, and everything is going to be okay. Well, it ain't. So, we need to be safe and give our life to Jesus so everything will be all right on that side, because God is the Prince of Peace. I didn't mean to do that thunder and lightning. I was trying to hit another button, but it didn't work out. But once this show gets going, once we get going, we're really going to just make it more structured. Right now, I'm just shooting from the hip, sort of just hitting buttons and playing around. But God bless everybody out there. I really can't tell if I have any callers unless they come on my switchboard. I don't have any other way of telling. I know, because sometimes when I get off the radio program, I tend to have callers that were calling in, and I tend to have like 7 or 8. I'm like, where were they at? I still don't know. I've been on doing this Blog Talk Radio for almost 8 months. I still have, excuse me, no idea what's going on. But God bless everybody out there. I'm going to go ahead and try to get to my
theme song and play it. It's going to be pretty long. So, well, God bless everybody out there. And you guys have a wonderful day.
Hey, welcome my brothers and sisters to the...
What they are going to do is to put our Fed and our SEC under the control, in effect, of the IMF.
Oh, come on.
They're going to
leave
this. That's what was in the draft agenda. They call it coordination of regulation. What it really is putting the American economy under international regulation.
Yeah.
And those people who have been yelling, oh, the UN's going to take over global
conspiracy
theories. They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Yeah, well,
the latest technology for identifying people with the phone details, for identifying people when they're making purchases, is actually the implantable chip that you can actually embed directly into human flesh. It's a tiny glass capsule about the size of a grain of rice. It contains an RFID computer chip.
In those chips, right, there'll be no more cash. And this is giving me straight from Rockefeller, so this is what they want to accomplish. And all money will be in your chips. If you just turn off your chip, and you have nothing. You can't buy food. You can't do anything. It's total control of the people.
And that chip's connected to a database that has the purchasing records, what you do.
Everything. Everything is in there. You know? And so they want a one-world government controlled by them. Everybody being chipped. All your money in those chips. And they control the chips. And they control it. And you become a slave. You become a serf.
Good night. I can see myself with 20 people and 30, 40 people in there. I gotta figure out which one I'm gonna use.
do. That's right.
Thank you.